Her light blue eyes put Quinn in mind of Gwyn Laws in the moments before his death. Her name was one badly frightened little girl. "Another member of the missing Homestead families?" Quinn guessed. "Indeed." "And you haven't incorporated her?" "She's given me no reason to. The adult males are useful for various labor-intensive tasks, which is why I kept them on. But the young boys I had no requirement for at all, so they were stored for transplant material." "And what were your requirements?" "Ovaries, basically. I didn't have a sufficient quantity for the next stage of my project. It was a situation which the Homestead females were fortunately able to rectify for me. We have enough suspension tanks here to maintain their fallopian tubes in a fully functional state, thus ensuring they keep dropping their precious little gifts into my palm each month. Our name hasn't quite matured enough for that yet, and seeing as how organs never really prosper in tanks, we allow her to run around the place until she's ready. Some of my companions have become quite fond of her. I even confess to finding her moderately tolerable myself." Anaim flashed him a glance of pure terror before the door opened and let her out. "There's a lot of Bitech at work here," Quinn said, "and if I didn't know better, I'd say you were an Edenist." Latin frowned. "Oh dear, my name doesn't register amongst your memories, then." "No, should it?" "Alas, such is fame. Fleeting at best. Of course I did achieve my notoriety a considerable number of years before you were born, so I suppose it's to be expected." "What did you do?" "There was an irregularity concerning a quantity of antimatter, and a proteanic virus which damaged my habitat's personality. Rather badly, I'm afraid. I released it before the replicant code RNA transfer was perfected."
"Your habitat? Then you are an Edenist."
"Wrong tense. I was an Edenist, yes."
"But you're all affinity-bonded. None of you breaks the law. You can't."
"Ah, there, I'm afraid, my young friend, you're a victim of popular prejudice, not to mention some rather sickly propaganda on Jupiter's behalf. There aren't many of us, but believe me, not everybody born an Edenist dies an Edenist. Some of us rebel. We shut off that cacophony of nobility and unity that vomits into our minds every living second. We regain our individuality, our mental freedom, and more often than not we choose to pursue our independent course through life. Our ex-peers refer to us as serpents." He gave an ironic smile. "Naturally, they don't like to admit we exist. In fact, they go to rather tedious lengths to track us down. Hence my current position."
"Serpents," Quinn whispered. "That's what all men are. That's what God's brother teaches us. Everyone is a beast in their heart. It is the strongest part of us, and so we fear it the most. But if you find the courage to let it rule, you can never be beaten. I just never thought an Edenist could free his beast."
"Interesting linguistic coincidence," Latin murmured. Quinn leaned forwards. "Don't you see? We're the same, you and me. We both walk the same path. We are brothers."
"Quinn Dexter, you and I share certain qualities, but understand this, you became a waster kid, and from that a light brother sect member, because of social conditions. That sect was your only route away from mediocrity. I chose to be what I am only after careful review of the alternatives, and the one thing I retain from my Edenist past is complete atheism."
"That's it. You said it. Shit. Both of us told ordinary life to go fuck itself. We follow God's brother in our own way, but we both follow him."
Latin raised an exasperated eyebrow. "I can see this is a pointless argument. What did you want to talk to me about?"
"I want your help to subdue Aberdale."
"Why should I want to do that?"
"Because I'll turn it over to you afterwards."
Latin looked blank for a second, then inclined his head in understanding.
"Of course, the money. I wondered what you wanted the money for. You don't want to be Aberdale's feudal lord. You intend to leave Lalonde altogether."
"Yeah, on the first starship I can buy passage on. If I can get down to Durringham before any alarm gets out, Then I can use one of the villagers' Jovian bank credit disks without any trouble. And with you in charge back here, there wouldn't be no alarm.